right, I'm David Villa here with Diana Villa. How are you?
Doing great.
Yeah, you look great. Look at you in your little Mary sweatshirt as we approach this Christmas season. Looking all festive and beautiful over there.
I try.
You try. You do. We're going to talk today. This isn't a Christmas message per se. This is just some topics, some thought that's been on my heart a little bit. And it's the thought about, you know, is participation enough? You know, a lot of times I think feel like that if we participate or if we're present, that's enough. And, you know, there's a difference between being present and showing up. I'm thinking about the old Ferris Bueller movie where the principal or the teacher says Bueller. And, you know, he wasn't there, but sometimes we are there. Sometimes we're in attendance. And then if the roll's called, we're there, we're participating, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're committed. And there's a difference between showing up and being present. And so I want to talk about that today a little bit. And in life, we often find ourselves surrounded by the idea that mere participation is enough. But I want to remind us of the powerful truth that's rooted in faith in the Word of God. And this is the truth that no one ever won anything by just participating. And participation is not enough. Just showing up is not enough, or just being there is not enough. Being present is not enough. You have to show up. You have to commit to it. And we look at the Bible, we see countless examples of individuals who stepped out in faith. And we're going to talk about that. So ultimately today, we're talking about stepping out in faith. And some of the individuals that come to mind, you know, that defied the odds, you know, and by the way, emerged victorious. You know, Noah, for example, he built an ark despite the ridicule. And by the way, despite the fact that it never rained before, you know, hey, I'm going to build this boat and it's never rained, but it's going to rain. And, you know, he did it despite the ridicule, and his faith saved humanity. And we can look at Moses. He faced Pharaoh leading God's people out of bondage. And, you know, he had a stuttering problem. He had never led anything. And, you know, God called him and he saw himself as unqualified, but there he is standing in the face of all odds. And we can go to David. You know, David fearlessly confronted Goliath, relying on God's strength. And here's David, a young boy who had never, you know, faced anything quite like that, but God had his back. And so he fearlessly confronted Goliath and relied on God's strength. And so these are some heroes that didn't settle for mediocrity, right? They embraced the challenge and believed in a higher purpose. And so I want to challenge us, because many of us have dreams and desires and, you know, things that we want to see accomplished, but, you know, and we've participated, but have we really dedicated or committed ourselves to the cause? And these same principles apply to our life today, right? God has placed unique gifts and talents within each of us, meant to be used for his glory. That's the reason, right? He's not impressed by our gifts. He's not impressed by our talents, but they're meant to be used for his glory. And so merely going through the motions, and that's what I want to talk about, going through the motions versus really stepping out on faith and going through the motions, they won't lead to breakthrough or accomplishments. We're called to rise above average, to pursue excellence, and to ultimately step out in faith. When you think of that, what comes to your mind? I mean, you know, have you ever gone through the motions? Have you just gone through the motions before versus committing to something wholeheartedly? I mean, I know the answer is yes, but I mean,
well, that was going to be my statement, was it sounds really like going through the motions. And I think we've all been in situations where we've merely gone through the motions and not really had any heart or you know, something inside that is compelling us to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if you go and, you know, think back on seasons where maybe you went through the motions, you could see that the fruit of that, if anything, was not good. You know, it wasn't, you know, you just kind of barely skimmed by. I think that's a problem in a lot of relationships nowadays, is that we just kind of go through the motions of it, but we don't dig deep, and we don't have like, hey, I'm going to keep this commitment, but I'm not going to be this commitment, this document, this covenant, but yet at the same time, I'm not going to really give my heart into it. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard a long time ago, your grandparents, it was actually your grandmother. She said, you know, a lot of people say marriage is 50-50, and she goes, but it's not, it's 100-100. You have to give 100% all the time. Because knowing that today my 100% may be less than your 100%,
yeah.
but it's all I have to give. So it's staying committed and giving all you have. I think that's the difference, that even though they were hitting resistance, you know, the people that you mentioned defying the odds and faith, they had a lot of odds against them, but yet they had a passion and something, you know, and what that is really the Holy Spirit, something inciting them, compelling them to keep going, even though they hit resistance or even though they hit obstacles or it didn't seem to make sense. They had something beyond themselves that pushed them to keep going.
Yeah. Somebody else I'm thinking of in the New Testament, the story where Peter, you know, was the disciples are in a boat and, you know, Jesus wasn't with them physically. He had went to the mountain to pray and he told them to go the other side. And it's in the, you know, a couple gospels record, and it's the time where Peter ended up walking on water. And there's an example of somebody who committed and despite looking at, you know, hey, I've never walked on water. It's impossible, you know, in the natural to walk on water. Peter, you know, was all in. He you know, he saw Jesus walking by, and when he found out it was Jesus, he said, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter got out of the boat, and, you know, he really put his money where his mouth is, so to speak. He put his faith in action. And, you know, just like these individuals that we mentioned, but Peter stepped out. He wasn't just a participant. You know, all the disciples were participating in that moment. They were there. They were all scared. They all saw the same thing. They all realized it was Jesus. And Peter took it a step further, no pun intended, right? He stepped out, put the ball of his foot onto the water and walked where natural men sink, and, you know, and walked across the water to Jesus. And, you know, that's an example, I think, of somebody, you know, really rising above average, pursuing excellence, and then ultimately stepping out in faith. You know, I know you fast forward the story a little bit. He took his eyes off the ball and started recognizing the things around him and begin to sink. But, you know, I think that we forget sometimes that he took the step out in faith. And I think that probably marked his life, you know, moving forward. I mean, if you do something like that, I think that's, you know, that's something that we talk about, you know, thousands of years later, we're still preaching on the story of Peter getting out of the boat. But imagine that being the thing that you did in your life. Imagine that being a hallmark or a landmark, you know, a benchmark, so to speak, in your life moving forward. You know, Peter never forgot that moment. And I believe multiple times in his life probably recalled that moment of how, hey, I walked on water, you know, and, you know, that's an example of someone being all in.
You know, I thought about the Bible, the story in the Bible of the woman that had she basically said, I just have this little bit of oil and this little bit of flour, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go home and I'm going to make this cake and my son and I are going to die. And so based on a natural sense, she only had enough for that last meal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yet the prophet Elijah said, hey, go in there and make me the cake first. And then the story is that she makes that, and then that the flour and the oil Ben didn't run dry.
Right.
And so it was counter what was natural, meaning if I make you this cake, how am I going to have enough? And yet she stepped out in faith. It had to been like the Spirit of the Lord, like, hey, no, you do this.
Right.
It wasn't a obedience. Conversation, but this, like, okay, I need to do this, obeyed. And then he provided more than she had. And it didn't go dry, So much so that she had to borrow vessels from other places. I think it's 2 Kings, like the 4th chapter or something like that. I'm not sure exactly where. Somewhere in that part, I was trying to look that up. But, you know, it didn't make sense. And yet, not only did it not make sense, God supernaturally provided.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when we choose to live with purpose and steadfast faith, and that's a choice, you know, that's the key word I want to point out there. When we choose to, amazing things can happen, and it might not always be easy. In fact, it often requires stepping into the unknown, facing obstacles, and enduring setbacks. And, you know, these individuals that we mentioned in the Bible, you know, they're no different than you and I today. It requires faith. It requires, you know, stepping into the unknown. It requires facing obstacles, not running from them, and enduring setbacks. Because a lot of times, what happens is either we don't step into the unknown, we avoid the unknown, you know, or oftentimes we might not face the obstacles, we run from the obstacles or avoid the obstacles. And thirdly, we don't endure the setbacks. Sometimes the setbacks cause us to, you know, set up camp and you know, and stop, and sometimes even turn around and go the other direction, and or cause us to quit, you know, or to sit ourselves on the sidelines, so to speak. But, you know, we have to face the obstacles, endure the setbacks, and then step into the unknown. And but, you know, here's the key too. Remember, you know, God is with you every step of the way. He's equipped you and I to overcome challenges and ultimately emerge victorious. That's, you can't lose as long as you hang with God. You know, it might not be the easy path. It might not be the path of least resistance. Oftentimes it's not. It's the path of most resistance or the path of resistance. But if you hang with God and you keep him close to you, you know, then you're going to emerge victorious in the battle. And that's just a fact. I mean, God is, there's one attribute of God that I love many, but there's one attribute of God that we can call to this podcast, this moment, and that is that God doesn't lose. You know, God doesn't fail. He can't fail. And he's a winning God.
Well, it always comes back to the issues of life flow from the heart. And so I think one of the most important things in this whole thing is like, you have to do it with the right heart motive, not out of obligation, or not just say, so I could say, hey, I did these things, or I did, you know, I did keep this commitment, I did follow through this. I mean, if I'm being honest, I think there's probably been even seasons where kind of almost where we've given out of obligation versus was that led by the Lord to give, right? And he's still honored in some way. And I think even when you half-heartedly do things, I think you can experience the, you know, parts of God's blessings and parts of God's provision and parts of that. But I think when you go through, you do things not with, you know, the complete right heart or the complete, I think you don't get the fullness of what God has for you. Like sometimes you walk in like partial or like, right. You know, like not the fullness, right? Like we don't receive everything. Like maybe if we would have been obedient sooner, like we would have had, you know, that breakthrough sooner. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think sometimes we can settle for, I guess that was the word I was trying to find, settle for less than God's fullness. And we think it's great, right? But if we would have really walked it out with the right heart, the right motive, with, you know, the right intentions, with the, you know, with the leading of the Holy Spirit, there, it would have been, it could have been a little bit different, a little bit sooner, a little bit greater. It could have, a lot of those things.
Yeah, 100%. And scripture that's coming to my mind here, I wanted to look it up, that it's Proverbs 16:3. We talked about this in our Make It Happen earlier, and I think it really, and I talked about this in our sales meeting earlier as well, two different meetings, this scripture has come up, so this is the third time today, but Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. And I know that you have a favorite scripture in Proverbs as well that talks about establishing your steps, making your path straight, and you can bring that up as well. But commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. And, you know, I said this in both of those meetings earlier that we kind of rush, and I know I'm speaking for myself. You know, we sometimes, I think, rush in that verse to the second part of it. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. We look at the establish your plans part because that's for us. You know, that's what we want. That's the prize. You know, he's going to establish my plans. And then we kind of breeze over the first part, commit to the Lord, whatever you do. And I think with me, I'm speaking for myself, you know, then I'll, with that, I look at.
We want him to commit to what we want to do versus us committing to what he wants to do through us and in us,
yeah,
and for us. And, you know, like.
Yeah. What I was going to say, just to make a point really quick, is I look at the first part of it and just think you kind of breeze through and you kind of take that as like, if I'm a believer, if I'm a Christian, then he'll establish my plans. In other words, commit to the Lord, whatever you do. So sometimes I get caught up in not analyzing that verse and really looking at my participation, my part of that. And it's that he'll establish my plans if I'm a believer. Well, the reality is it says commit to the Lord, whatever you do. There's a commitment part of that. And commitment is different than participation. Commitment is different than, you know, commitment means you're all in. Commitment means that you are 100% there. You commit to the Lord, whatever you do. You don't just love the Lord and serve the Lord. And he puts just this little, like, you know, favor tag on it and says, okay, well, your plans are going to be established. Well, there's a commitment aspect that has to go along with that. And when I look at this lesson, that's what I see. Are you committed to the process? You know, so much so that you will get out of the boat and walk on water, so much so that you will, you know, face obstacles, endure setbacks, and step into the unknown. So much so. What's the scripture in Proverbs that, is it Proverbs 3:5?
3:5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. And it depends on the version, direct your path, make your path straight. It depends on what version, mm-hmm. That goes, I thought about when you were talking about commitment, commitment means dedicated. You are dedicated to a cause or an activity.
Right.
And I think when you're dedicated to something, that's a heart thing. You're committed. It goes back down to, where your heart is in the matter. Like, you are dedicated, you're committed. You're not going to just be blown away like by the little trip up or the little wind. Like, you are anchored. Maybe the word would be anchored. If you're committed to something, you're anchored to it. Like, you are a pillar in it. You are steadfast is what I'm thinking. If you're committed, if you're committed to, at the first of the year, we're coming into the holidays, everyone's going to be committed to health, eating right.
Are they going to be committed to it?
They're going to start out committed, but by week two, by the end of the month one, you'll really find out how committed and dedicated you are.
So that's kind of where I was going. So then they're really not committed, because commitment is not in the start. Commitment is when you run into the unknown, when you run into the obstacles, and when you run into the setbacks, you're still in. Commitment is commitment. So I think a lot of times we start, we're not really committed. We like the idea of it, and we participate. I think that's really kind of, not being judgy. I'm just saying, because I'm speaking, David has done that many times. Started something, whether it's beginning of the year, beginning of the month, or beginning of anything, then I'm all for it. But
I think if you're committed, even when you don't see results, you keep going.
Yes.
I think that's the difference.
Yes.
If you're committed to a health change,
that's how you know if somebody is committed.
Yeah. That even though the results aren't quick, you just keep on going, knowing that somewhere along the line, it's going to catch up, mm-hmm. You stay committed even if you don't feel like it. You don't want to get up and get off the couch and not watch TV to go, do whatever. I think
that's how you recognize
not,
it.
It's not results driven. It's end result driven.
Right.
I want this end result, so I'm going to keep on even if I don't see it in the beginning.
Well, if I were going to say Diana's committed to something, like if I saw you do something, I watched you work out for years and things like that. And so there was never a question, because I watched you get up early in the morning, not just once, twice, but for years, and go to the gym at a certain time. And so there was no question that you were committed, even when you would come home and say, man, I don't feel like I did enough today, or I don't feel like I'm seeing the results. But you didn't stop, and you haven't, and you keep going. You're committed to it. So that's how I would know to say that, oh, Diana is committed to this. If you started something and then 2 weeks into it, you just kind of went away from it, I wouldn't use the terminology commitment. I wouldn't say a month from now, oh, Diana's committed to that, and that's not being judgy, because I'm the person and you're the person and we're the people, just like you guys listening, that have not done that. There's many things that I've not been committed to, but I've participated in, and I had good intentions, like, hey, I want to do this, or I want to start this. Starting is, people are enamored by people who start things, but they're transformed by people who finish things. So the world is, man, you're so busy, you're doing so much. Well, they see what you've started, but how many of those things are you committed to see them through? And the scripture, again, I should have looked this up, but this just came to my mind, but the scripture that talks about counting the cost before you start something, so you're not made a mockery of, so that you're not, that's an important scripture, because the cost is not just the money aspect of it, but what's it going to cost me to remain committed to doing this for the Lord? And so I think that we settle a lot of times for mere participation, and we can't settle for a life of mere participation. We have to embrace the extraordinary journey that a life of faith offers, and believe in the power of God that works in us, and let that belief propel us to action. And trust that he will guide us, trust that he will provide for us, and lead us to a life filled with purpose and fulfillment. And that comes through a life of commitment to the things of God, not just mere participation.
And action, right? We can be, and then again, it's not, I guess, true commitment, mm-hmm. but I think we live in a day and age that we can be committed with a lot of things that we say, but our actions are the opposite of that. Yep. When it comes down, when you have to...
My dad used to say, what do you say? Your actions are speaking so loud, I can hardly hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Right?
Was that you that said that? No, I'm just kidding. I think you might have said that once or twice too.
I think I might have. But I think that we can't, we don't want to be an alligator mouth and a lizard tail. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to put our faith and our beliefs and what God is calling us to do into action. We can't just sit, back. God can provide, right? He can drop anything from the sky that we might have need of, but most likely it's going to come through our actions, the people that we've surrounded ourselves with. It's going to come by the sowing the seed in the right time, in the right ground. I think that's another thing, as we go through the motions of, hey, I'm going to implement these godly principles in my life, but then maybe we're not sowing seed in the ground that God's calling us to sow into. And so we're expecting, fruit to come forth of apples, but we're getting bananas. It's because we didn't really plant in the right place. So I feel like even that is a big deal in that. Like, you have to know what you're committed to, and you need to know where you're committed. And is it the place that God wants you? I think we can have good intentions of wanting to do a lot of good things that would be good, but is it what God has for you? Are you doing what God has in store for you, the plan of God over your life? And I think that's a really hard thing, because by nature, I'm someone that likes to serve. Mm-hmm. And so I can serve in a lot of capacities, meaning serving people. I want to do this for this person. I want to do this, and find myself weary in well-doing and not seeing, being exhausted. I think there's a difference between fulfilled and tired and exhausted, because I've done everything within my own strength, and instead of allowing
people think that commitment actually would be what would keep you from being exhausted. Participation, I think, is what exhausts us, because we're not really committed. When you commit to something, you're committed to the purpose. And when you're committed to the purpose, there's a prize at the end. And Mike sent me the scripture here that I was referring to. This is the Message version, but it's Luke 14, 28 through 30. It says, is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish. And, that is, they're using the analogy or the story here of a house, but that's with really anything we do. Commitment will cause you not to look foolish. Participation will cause you to look foolish. And counting the cost is a must. Amen. So today, as we wrap this up here, Dinah, I'm gonna ask you to pray in a second too. But take a bold step today, knowing that with God on your side, you're more than a conqueror, not just a conqueror, but you're more than a conqueror. So I'm going to challenge us all to rise above the ordinary and embrace the extraordinary, for there is a victor's crown, amen, waiting for those who dare to have faith and take action. Commit today. Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather and, Lord, just talk about you and your word, and how, God, that you are with us and you go before us, God, and that you have a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. I just pray, God, that in this season, as people are busy running around and preparing for the holidays and spending time with family, I just pray, God, that you would just quicken in us, God, to be committed to your will and your purpose and your plan over our lives. Father God, that we wouldn't feel the need to measure up to a world standard, but Father God, that you have a standard, and that, Lord, we would just look to you and ask you and seek you for your guidance in this season of our lives. Lord, I just pray that you would help us, God, keep the commitments that we make, Father God, but let them be the ones that you've laid before us, Father God. Lord, that it's okay to say no to things. And so, Father, I just pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, know the things that we should be doing and the things that we should maybe say no to, that the best answer to a yes is a no. And so, Father, I hope that you would ask that you would help us just seek you and, Lord, be doers of your will over our lives. We thank you for that right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for hanging with us today. Hopefully this podcast touched you. If it did, make sure that you share it with somebody on YouTube. If you would, click the subscribe button and click the notification bell so that you can be kept up to date on every podcast as we drop them. We drop one a week on the Game Changer podcast, and then we drop a GC Talks podcast as well. So two a week go out. Also, you can find us on Spotify and Apple. And if you're on social media, post and tag us. We want to see what God's doing in your life. And make sure you download the Game Changer. Let me point to your cup there. The Game Changer app. You can type Game Changer by IPD Agency. And you can find that app anywhere apps are available. And you can keep up with everything we're doing in the marketplace. And we appreciate you guys. And we will see you next week, God willing, on Game Changer Podcast.